Life's for sharing. The world's got a way of projecting that. Now, there was nothing necessarily bad or awful in what took place in Liverpool Station 3 years ago. Okay? But is that really sharing life? Because that is a true value that does exist that God has for us. And it's a value that we have and we hold very dear. In fact, it's one of the most important values that I think you would have to say that we have. And that is sharing life with one another. We believe that it's not optional. It's not something we can say we can do it when we want to do it. We can do it if we want to do it. It is a part of who God has made us to be. In fact, it is at the core of understanding the good news of Jesus. Because the reality is Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. And when the Holy Spirit lives within us, it makes us one. The Holy Spirit connects us to one another. It drives us to share our lives together. Every part of them with one another. Not just a few hours when we get together on Sunday or someday during the week in the evening. Sharing life's more than that. You know that. You've lived that, many of you. We don't just go to church together. You would have a conversation with many people, even people you know that are in a church, and they'll tell you that they go to church with somebody. In fact, in the course of a conversation, they'll say, "Oh yeah, that's John over there. I go to church with John." I defy you, I challenge you to not use that language. You don't go to church with anybody here. You are church with the people here. Every single day, you share life. I want to look at several passages today in the Bible that I believe establish this value of a shared life. I think it's important that we do that. Very soon, like maybe at 11 o'clock today, we're going to be moving in some directions that we haven't moved in for quite a while. And so you could say this is kind of like the pre-launch talk before the launch. You're the folks that God wanted here to hear this. So we're going to talk about a shared life and this value that we hold for a little while. So let's look. We're going to start with Jesus' own words. So we're going to look, first of all, at John's Gospel, chapter 17. If you've got your Bible, you might want to open it up. John chapter 17. For those of you who are somewhat familiar with John's Gospel, you know that this is a part of his prayer in the garden. It's not the Lord's prayer, but it is the prayer that the Lord prayed for you and me the night before he was arrested. It's the most expansive description of what he prayed. And he didn't just pray for himself, and he didn't just pray for the people who were there with him, although he did pray for them. Let's look at this in kind of two chunks. The first chunk is in chapter 17, verse 10 through 11. Jesus was talking to his Father, and he said, "All that I have is yours." That's the language of a shared life. "And all you have is mine." That's the language of a shared life. "And glory has come to me through them," talking about the people who were following him. "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you." He knew what was going on. He knew the lay of the land. "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, that the name you gave and the name you gave me, so that they may be," what does it say? "One as we are one." Now let's shift to the second slide that's got the second chunk of this prayer that I want to look at. He was talking about those who were following Him. He wanted them to be one. But it didn't stop there. He prayed for you and me. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, the people who are following Jesus. And guess what? We believe in Jesus because of this. That's the word of the guys who are following Him that He was praying for. We believe because of the words that they recorded, the words that were passed down, and the words that we have about Jesus. That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in me and I am in You. The language of a shared life. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that You have sent me. I have given them the glory that You gave me, that they may be one as We are one. I in them and You in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You sent me and have loved them even as You have loved me. Now, do you think that Jesus would pray that we be unified without sharing our lives together? In fact, can we really be unified without sharing our lives in a tangible way? Can you do it? Can you actually be unified if we are not sharing our lives together? Can we really? What do you think? Impossible. For those of you who hate sports illustrations, forgive me. I just got to go there. There's going to be two games played this afternoon. One in the American Football Conference and the other is the National Football Conference. I guarantee you neither team that will win those games will win unless they are unified. And the way that they've been unified is by practicing, and they can't do it by themselves. They had to practice with all the other guys on the team. Over and over and over and over again. They slept together to some degree, ate together to some degree, hung out together, many of them, okay, in their free time. These guys have something that the world, He would be in Him. He would be in us. He is in the Father. This is amazing language. We will never be on the same page unless we are sharing our lives. And we will never see the family grow unless we share our lives with other people. Y'all remember the old joke that kids used to say? You have Prince Albert in a can? Well, let him out. Okay. Well, you got Jesus in a can? Well, let him out. We've got to share. That's who we are. That's what He meant. That was His purpose, that we would share life and that we would expand the group of people that we were sharing life with so that we have the chance to speak life to them. Share life to speak life. The problem is a lot of times we don't want to share our lives with those people. We just want to speak life to them. And there's a credibility that's not there when we haven't shared our life with them. But once they see the way we live, who we live with, how we really are, I hope they haven't seen how we really are. But if we live the way we're supposed to, and how we're really supposed to do this shared life thing, then when we get to say the words of life, when we get to say what we need to say about Jesus, there's a credibility to it. Are you with me on this? You hear what I'm saying? Okay. Let's go to another passage. This is one we love to talk about around here. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. You know what happened. The disciples were in that room praying because they didn't know what was going to happen next, but they knew that Jesus had told them He would come. He would send the Spirit. And they're praying together in this room, those that had followed and many of them. And while they were, the Holy Spirit came in a demonstrative, clear, and dramatic way. And all of a sudden they were speaking in all the languages of the people who were there in Jerusalem. And they were hearing the message of Jesus in their own language. And whenever the commotion finally settled down, Peter stood up and preached a message. And many, many people responded to what Peter preached because of the dramatic things that God was doing when the Spirit fell. It was the beginning of the Holy Spirit in the church age, moving and driving people together. And this is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to do what? Meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here's what I propose to you. What attracted them was the power of God lived out amongst people who were sharing life together. If they had decided they were all going to be independent operators and they were all going to go huddle somewhere in their own place or somewhere else and they did not gather together nor hang out together or spend life together or do anything together, all that stuff would never have happened. And no one would have been attracted to what God was doing. Shared life is powerful when Jesus is in the middle of it. So when we talk about this value here, we talk about sharing life together, many of us are doing this very well, very well. Some of us aren't doing it so well. But the reality is we all have an opportunity here to do this and to remember that it's got to have Jesus in the middle of it. Because we can share life and do a lot of things. But it doesn't advance the kingdom of God because Jesus is not invited to be in the middle of the shared life. I mean, I love coaching sports. I love coaching my son's team. Whenever I was able to do Abby, I had fun doing it. And it's great when there's shared values there. And I've had a lot of fun. But the times whenever it's been the most enjoyable is whenever I've known that the people that I were coaching with and I shared the fact that we were about caring for the boys and or the girls and Jesus was at the center of it. Or there were guys that I knew that cared about what the kids believed about Jesus. And they cared whether the kids saw their lives reflect Jesus. And they knew that if they got upset and stepped out of line, that it bothered them. Because there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of dads and stuff. You know, it doesn't bother them when they get out of line because they don't have Jesus in the middle of that. Okay? So hear what I'm saying. Shared life is wherever it happens. Shared life with Jesus in the middle is wherever we go. Wherever we find other people that we are joining our lives with, if Jesus is there with us, among us, we are sharing life. Now, I believe that there's people that He calls us to share life to a little different degree, and that's who the church is. This the call together folks. But the church that Jesus has called into Savannah is bigger than we are, isn't it? And God has allowed us as a congregation to share life with people who are not in our congregation. And you've heard me express this before. God has given us an opportunity to do things that are bigger than us because we are willing to acknowledge that the church is bigger than Sycamore Church. And that we're not trying to, yes, we want to see the kingdom of God grow among us. Absolutely. But we're more concerned about the kingdom of God than we are the kingdom of Sycamore Church. So, we look at what we see in Acts chapter 2, all this lifestyle change. Is there evidence here that you see that these people responded to the good news by sharing their lives? What do you see in this passage that says they shared their lives? Together. That repeated word, together. What did they do? Together. Had everything in common. And that wasn't, forgive me, okay? There wasn't Caesar telling them they had to do it. Okay? It was because the Holy Spirit prompted them to help one another and share what they had. It was not somebody legislating it. Okay? All right. Other things. Ate together. Shared meals. What else did they do together? Yes, they did. They prayed, Daniel. Very good. Okay. Continue on with the supper. Yes, absolutely. Praise God. They worshiped. Did that together. Help meet each other's needs as they saw everything in common. Okay. Didn't meet just in the temple, met in their homes. All of that. It's life shared. I got to believe that they saw each other in the marketplace as they were going there to sell and buy what they needed every day or so. They shared life. So that's what it looked like for them. What would it look like for us? What would sharing life the way they did look like for us? Same thing? Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good, we're going to do that right now. Okay, we're going to do it right now. Let's bow. Lord God, we thank you for the way you speak and for the way you move. And Lord, we're praying for the Manning family as they open their home, open themselves. And Lord, as they take that step to share life with their neighbors, Lord, we ask that that would be fruitful. And Lord, we ask that you would be in the middle of that. And that you would be invited there, and that as you are invited, that, Lord, you would do what only you can do. Lord, I pray that you would honor Matthew and Bethany's desire for their neighbors to come to know you. And, Lord, I pray that you would use them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything else you want to say about how this looked? Looks like a bunch of people getting together to load a truck. And reload a truck. That's right. Not just one truck, but two. We loaded Claudia's truck yesterday. The first one wasn't quite big enough. So we... Yeah. There's a guy named Randy Frazee that we had once heard. He's a pastor in Texas. And one of the things that he encouraged his people to do were just to get to know people on the neighborhood. He would basically say, just kind of hang out in your yard and see who would come and talk to you. And he said, after a while, some of the people, you know, every night or every couple of nights, they just start putting their lawn chairs in the yard. People would just come bringing their lawn chairs and they would all just kind of hang out because they knew they were going to be in their yard and they knew that they were available. And so they did it. That's a way to expand who you share life with. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next passage. Romans chapter 12. Now, we all know that the beginning of this passage, this chapter in Romans, starts with what? You remember? The first two passages before number 3, since we're starting with number 3, you remember what number 1 and 2 are about? Okay. Present yourselves a living sacrifice and then being renewed in your mind as you spend time with God. Let Him speak to you. And after that, after He gives that direction, He goes here. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Now he launches out. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it to the proportion of his faith. Next slide, please. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Wow. Next slide. Same passage, just a little bit later. Love must be sincere. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What's the next one? Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You can't practice hospitality if you aren't sharing your life. Can't do it. Because somebody's got to get in your space. You have to be stretched to some degree. Because you're inviting someone in. Next, John. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil, anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, in all this that Paul writes in chapter 12 of Romans, that we now call that, can we do these things if we're not sharing our lives together? Can you mourn with anybody who's mourning if you're not sharing your life, really? Can you rejoice with anybody who's rejoicing if you don't know what they're rejoicing about? Can you help someone if you don't know what they need help doing? If you have a word for somebody, if you're not sharing life, can you share that word with them? I know it's somewhat of a rhetorical question. So can we really do these things if we're not sharing our lives together? So from these passages, would you say that it's easy to share life together? Where did he end up in this last chunk? What's he talking about? I'm not perfect. I mess up all the time. I'll say something I shouldn't say, or I'll say it in a way that I shouldn't say it, or my face will look in a way that I don't think my face looks when I say it, and I'm not communicating what I want to communicate, or I don't do something that I ought to do. We're not talking about the dishes. But see, she can do that because I share life with her.
I know.
See? And that's the thing that we have to understand comes with this, is that the reason God gives us to one another and has us to share this life is so that we would be more like Jesus. And that always means that we have to be open to change, because there are things that we do, there's things we think, there's ways we act, ways we communicate with others that don't match up to God's standard, and I need you in my life to let me know. It's a gift. We treat it too many times like it's not a gift, but it is a gift. Strategically, it's not hard. Okay, methodology is not hard. What's hard is the maintenance of the relationships. Okay, because we have to forgive. We have to get through, because we are messy and life is messy. And we have to show people we're going to love them even if they get messy. And it gets frustrating and tired sometimes. We get tired. But the reality is we've got to do it. It's who we are. And we share life and we're with people whether we like what they do or not, because God's called us to be family. Why does God not make it easy to share life? Thank you, Dixie. Good answer. He wants us to grow. Yes. Absolutely. Very true. Very true, Bethany. We need Him. We need one another. He gives us to one another because He lives in all of us. His Spirit lives in all of us. I mean, the church. People who have been changed and transformed. Got one more passage I want to look at. We've been reading this one a lot lately, but it still fits, so we're going to look at it. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What things that he says can only happen if we are sharing life together? if we're not sharing life together, can we love one another deeply? Nah. If we're not sharing life together, we can't be hospitable to one another. And we certainly won't do it without grumbling. We won't use our gifts, whether they be speaking gifts or serving gifts, if we're not sharing. See, if we're not sharing life, we're not sharing. And my gift is my gift, and I can use it how I want. That's contrary to everything you read in the Bible, in the New Testament, about why God gives spiritual gifts. It's because He gives them to the church through you. It's not given to you and me so that we can be free agents and be independent operators and contractors and go make money on our own or use them to build our own capital. For the people that He's called us to share life with. Got a couple of questions. Verses, what keeps us from sharing life together? Fear? Busyness? Selfishness? The other life stuff. Okay. Okay. Wanting to do things? Or not want? Not a priority. Pride and arrogance. Greed? Okay. So a house divided against itself will not stand. We've got to have this. We've got to have unity. Or else the enemy's winning the battle. Yeah, our own perspective sometimes, and we rush to judgment, and we miss opportunities many times when we do that. Thank you for that illustration, Dixie. So what keeps us from sharing? All these things keep us from sharing life together. And to say that we need to be around other believers who will do that iron sharpens iron kind of action, doesn't mean that we are never around people who aren't in Christ. Because we have to start sharing life with them before we have the right to speak life. But where do I get my strength and my wisdom? I get it from those people that have demonstrated and proven to me that they love Jesus and they love me. And those are the people I listen to. Even though I'm around the other people, those are the people that speak to me. And that I give the authority in my life. Everybody else, I kind of have to filter it. You know what I mean? You have to be careful. You got to see it in a little different light and test it. Second question. What are some ways that we can be better at sharing life together? Well, I think we've talked about that to some degree. You know? But we still need to think about it. We've got to be intentional about it. Because it won't just happen, right? Won't just happen. But, look, if we spend time listening to God, and we let the Holy Spirit speak to us, it will always drive us to share life. It will not drive us away from one another. So what we can be relatively certain about is that the Spirit is going to drive us together. And if something is driving us away, then it probably isn't the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? So whenever you and I are, you know, just like that, we're thinking thoughts that are either divisive or would take us away from someone that we know we've got this life with, we need to check ourselves and check what's going on. Because there's a good chance it's not God. So the first thing is we have to spend time with God and listen to the Spirit. Last question. So how does the idea of going to church keep people from sharing life together? Right. Box, box, box. Pull out the church box. Do the church box today. Pull out the whatever the next box is, work box, you know. Pull out the, you know, whatever. And we do whatever's in that box and we put that box back up. And when we do that compartmentalizing of our lives, then we get into this pattern where we think we only have to share a part of our life with somebody. And after a while, we are then not telling the truth anymore. Because we can have this thing we do in this box and this thing we do in this box, but we don't want the people in this box to know what's going on in this box. What we're doing is we're not sharing life. What? Oh, yeah. 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 Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's not
yeah. That's right. That's right. It's like going down a runway. Or...
You can go to it, you can leave it.
That's right. If you can go to church, you can leave church. You know, can I talk about you for a minute? Okay. You know, Claudia's leaving, going back to Connecticut tomorrow. Okay. And, you know, Here's the cool thing, is that in truthfully a relatively short period of time, Claudia has become a part of our family. And whenever a part of your family leaves, even though you know they're, I mean, all she's doing is going to Connecticut, but you know the reality is there's a space there that nobody else fills anymore. You know what I mean? And if we were just going to church together with Claudia, then it really wouldn't matter. Because the next Sunday, we'd just be going to church with somebody else. But it's not about going to church, it's about being church. Sharing, when you're willing to share life, there's a lot of good things that happen. Not always easy, but it's when God begins to work. I wanted to end with one more video. There's nothing real significant other than, and you'll recognize the song pretty quickly. It was a little video put together by a church, by the people who were like the Garys and the Mikes and all the rest of you that are musical, and just thought that it was a neat message, and I'll just leave it at that.
Tumble and fall, and the mountains should crumble. Stand by me. Stand by.
No, they weren't. But the message is a great message for sharing your life. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you to present ourselves to you. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit has come to live within us so that, Lord, we would be your people, your body, and that we would have this great desire to reflect your love, your simplicity and your complexity at the same time, and that we can be your hands and feet and share the life that you've given us. Lord, we ask that you would take what we give you, the life that we share, and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.